Good morning, everyone. Happy Mother's Day. I want to take a moment to recognize the women in this room who maybe you're not a mom. Maybe you've experienced some loss. Maybe you haven't had that opportunity to be a mom. Maybe you didn't have a good relationship with your mom. I want to take a moment to recognize you. And I want to thank God that we can grieve those things with hope. That our identity is not rooted in being a mom. That our identity, our purpose, our value, our worth is rooted in Christ. So I want to encourage you with that today. So I'm excited to be here. I'm excited to be able to share what I've been studying about our apprenticing with Jesus. We are still continuing on practicing the way, and this is week number 2 on scripture practice. That's what we're going to be focusing on. So as I was studying this topic, I learned some interesting things. Some of the things that I learned were not new to me, new information, but some of them definitely were. And it was about what and how we eat in our culture. What? Did you know that the new daily bread in our culture is ultra-processed foods? Ultra-processed foods are foods that are meant to last a long time on the shelf. They are stripped of many of their natural nutrients. They're engineered foods, and this is the new daily bread. These kinds of foods make up about 60% of adults' diets and 70% of our kids' diets. These foods are actually designed, and this was one of those facts I did not know, designed with bliss points. This is the perfect mix of like salt and fat and sugar, and it's meant specifically to give us a dopamine rush to make these foods easy to eat. And like I said, these foods are the least nourishing foods that we can eat. And another thing I learned is that these foods are meant to override our natural ability to tell us that we're full. We don't get fullness cues from these types of foods because we're just eating them oftentimes on the go. These foods are meant for convenience. They're meant to be consumed riding in our car, fast food places, quick and convenient. Now, I don't want anybody to feel shamed in here. In our own house, we have foods that are on-the-go foods. Every once in a while, we grab some fast food, so no shame. But we know that if these foods make up the majority of our diet, there's negative effects to our physical health, right? There's increased obesity, risk of obesity. There's increased risk of cardiovascular disease. There is increased risk of depression and anxiety. They don't impact us for the good. So, in contrast to those types of foods, eating nutrient-rich foods, foods that have been either low-processed foods or foods that haven't been processed at all, these have a positive impact on our bodies. They give us the nutrients our bodies need to function well. And what I want to focus on today, though, is the how. This was something new I learned. When we are eating our food, we're actually supposed to chew each bite 15 to 32 times before swallowing. I've been trying to do this. In fact, I didn't realize that the other day while I was eating, my daughter was counting my chews. And she's like, "You did it, Mommy. You did 32 chews." And I've been trying, and it's been slowing me down quite a bit. And there's actually health benefits to chewing our food slowly, eating this way, not rushing through, not on the go. One of those things is we get better nutrient absorption. We're thoroughly breaking down those foods so our body can do the work of breaking them down even more and getting those nutrients where they need to be. Second is weight management. If we're taking time to eat our food slowly, then it slows down actually how much we eat. It helps our stomach to recognize that we're full, and it sends that signal to the brain and says, okay, you've had enough food. And then the third is just we enjoy our food. We get to taste it. We're not rushing through it. We get to actually appreciate the flavors. So I want to leave us with this question today, or ask this question for all of us. Do we linger over a slow, deliberate feast that nourishes and satisfies, or have our spiritual life slipped into a habit of quick processed bites that we eat, consume on the run? Because there's both a physical and spiritual reason why what we eat is crucial and why we should eat slowly, repeatedly, we should chew our food. Both a physical and spiritual reason. So I want to read that question again. Do we linger over a slow, deliberate feast that nourishes and satisfies us, or have our spiritual life slipped into a habit of quick processed bites that we consume on the run? In other words, what are we feeding our souls, and how are we feeding our souls? So our big idea today is, if reading the word, Pastor Dan covered that last week, is taking in the word. When we take in the word, we're meeting with Jesus. If reading the word is the first bite of a meal, then meditation is the act of savoring, fully tasting, and absorbing it so the word can transform you to be like Jesus and live like Jesus did. Meditation, that's like slowly chewing and savoring the word. That's what we're going to focus on today. So let's read our main scripture text here. This is Jesus talking to the Jewish people. His disciples were there too. So Jesus said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoever feeds on my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day." I want to say a couple of things as we go through these scriptures. I highlighted the word eat and feeds because Jesus uses two different Greek words here. For eat, it's the Greek word phago, if I'm saying it correctly, and that means to devour or to taste it eagerly, take it in eagerly. Feeds is a different Greek word, and that is trogo in the Greek. It means to chew on, to graze, and it doesn't just mean once, it means continually, over a whole lifetime. And Jesus uses this word, feeds, four times in this passage of scripture. The spiritual impact here is that Jesus is the spiritual food we can't get anywhere else. He says his flesh, his blood, and that life that he is referring to, that eternal life, the life in you that he's referring to, That's the Greek word zoe, and that means the life that only comes from God. We experience it both in this life and in the life to come. "For my flesh is true food, and my blood is true drink. Whoever feeds on my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me, and I in him." That word true food, it means our spiritual food. That's what he's referring to here. He's not referring to eating his physical body, drinking his physical blood. He's referring to our spiritual food. And that word true emphasizes why. Because that is the food that refreshes our souls. It's the food that truly nourishes us and supports us. So the spiritual impact here is that chewing on Jesus, grazing on him, fully tasting him. We're abiding in him in us. We're absorbing him. And that's important. We'll get to that later on. "For as the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, So whoever feeds on me, he also will live because of me. Again, that is that Zoe life. This is the bread that came down from heaven, not like the bread the fathers ate and died. Whoever feeds on this bread will live forever. Earlier in this chapter, Jesus is talking about the manna that God provided the Israelites in the wilderness. This was daily provision in the wilderness that God rained down from heaven, bread that he rained down from heaven. But Jesus is setting himself apart here from even that. Even the good things God gives us, he's setting himself apart from that. He is saying that I'm the bread that nourishes you unto eternal life. They died after eating that bread. That bread wasn't the end-all, be-all. The good things that God gives us are not the end-all, be-all. It's Jesus himself. He's the nutrition that is continually making us new. It's continually at work transforming our hearts and lives. Like it says in 2 Corinthians 4, verse 16, it says, though our outer self is wasting away, our inner self is being renewed day by day. Even though we're getting old, we're getting wrinkly, our bodies aren't working like they used to, our spiritual life, we are growing. Our inner man is growing stronger each day and hopefully becoming more and more like Christ and living how he did. Jesus emphasized the importance of both eating, that's reading the word, and feeding. Again, he emphasized feeding, that continual grazing, that continual chewing on, that continual meditating on himself. He emphasized that four times in that passage. In Psalms, in the Old Testament, it also emphasizes the importance of meditation. In Psalm 1, verse 1 through 2, it says, how happy is the one who does not walk in the advice of the wicked, or stand in the pathway with sinners, or sit in the company of mockers. Instead, his delight is in the Lord's instruction, and he meditates on it day and night. Delight goes back to that enjoying our food, right? Enjoying God and everything he is. Taking time to truly taste and see that the Lord is good. The psalmist is saying he delights in the Lord's instruction. Another way of saying the word. In Joshua 1, verse 8, it says, this book of instruction must not depart from your mouth. You are to meditate on it day and night so that you may carefully observe everything written in it. For then you will prosper and succeed in whatever you do. Meditate in this, both of these passages, is the Hebrew word haggah, and it means to think about with thoroughness and care. So when I'm referring to meditating today, in chewing on the word of God, this is what I'm talking about, to really think about it with thoroughness and care. And this word also means to growl like a lion over its prey. It's this intense focus on the food, this dedicated time to taking it in. The Old Testament, like I said, both Jesus and the Old Testament emphasize meditating on scripture day and night, which is a poetic way of saying continually for a lifetime. So going back to that beginning example of how we eat physical food, what we eat, meditation helps us to thoroughly break down what we're reading so we can absorb it. Meditation helps us to fully taste and appreciate what we're reading. And meditation helps us to feel full and satisfied by Jesus rather than overeating on things that aren't meant to be our greatest delight. Think about the things that we might turn to instead of turning to Jesus. It could be really anything that we might consume and take in, social media, maybe we need a vacation, maybe we turn to other people primarily, not that that's wrong, but there are so many things that we can turn to get a quick fix, to get a quick answer, instead of turning to Jesus. And they can become like those ultra-processed foods in our lives. Anything that we turn to as our main source of nutrition spiritually can become like an ultra-processed food, right? It can become greater than the one who created us. We can put that good thing in the place of God, and then it becomes distorted in our lives. So meditation helps us to feel satisfied. So now I want to focus in on what the Word does in our lives. As we take time to read the Word, as we take time to meditate on the Word does something just so amazing in our lives that nothing else really can do. As we read and meditate on the Word, it equips us, it exposes things in our lives that are harmful, and it disarms our opponents. Equip. 2 Timothy 3, verse 16 through 17 says, all scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, that's conviction, for correction. That word correction means we're put back in an upright position so we can go grow in the right way, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete and equipped for every good work. Hebrews 4, verse 12 says, for the word of God is alive and powerful. It is sharper than the sharpest two-edged sword, cutting between soul and spirit, between joint and marrow. It exposes our innermost thoughts and desires. I don't know if you've ever experienced this, but there have been times in my life where I have felt off. I felt upset or agitated, anxious maybe, and I didn't know why. I couldn't understand it. And the Word has gone to work in my life in those moments as I've said, God, please reveal it to me. What is going on? Why am I struggling with this? What's wrong? And the Word has exposed, it's brought to the surface what was wrong. Maybe something that I was doing that I needed to repent of. Maybe something I was turning to that was, I was looking to satisfy me and it wasn't. It has genuinely exposed things in my heart and my life that I needed to know and understand. And it's alive, it's living. This means as we take the Word in, we don't just take it for a time and then it's gone. The Holy Spirit works in our hearts to continually remind us of those truths. It's living and active. And it disarms. Ephesians 6, verse 17 says, put on salvation as your helmet and take the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. I don't know why this scripture just blows me away, but the Spirit uses the Word as a sword. This word in the Greek, it is a sword that is meant for close quarters combat. It's used for cutting and slashing, and it's most effective in disarming the opponent. This is what the Spirit wields in our lives. When we are facing lies, when we are facing our enemy, when our enemy threatens us, this is what the Spirit wields in our lives. So the impact, this is the impact of the Word in our lives as we read it and meditate on it. So I've already mentioned, but the Word doesn't work alone. The Word doesn't work alone to transform us. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. As we read and meditate on the Word, the Spirit goes to work using that in ways that we don't even understand, in ways that we don't even see at times, but he helps to teach us what that word means so we can fully absorb it. And he brings it to our remembrance when we forget. And he points us ultimately to Jesus. The Holy Spirit helps us to understand what we're meditating on. He reminds us when we forget and helps us to wield the Word of God and disarm the powers of darkness. So I want to give a couple of real life examples. I'm a mom of four. And like I said, as this has come to play in my life many times, and in real life time when I needed it the most. So a couple weeks ago, our family went and ran some errands. And we came home, we were in the kitchen talking, the kids were fooling around and laughing, and all of a sudden, everything changed. Because one of my kids said, so-and-so is choking. And this child ran over to me, their face was just one of terror, one of panic. So I turned them around and started doing the Heimlich. And when I was doing it, I started a little bit panicking inside because they were resisting me. And I was trying harder and harder, trying to get stronger and stronger. And then my husband ran over, and it was just enough where he could just scoop out this chunk of ice that my child had inhaled. And so, of course, my child was very upset. We were both hugging each other. I was trying to remain composed and not cry. They were crying. Everything was okay, safe. But that's where when fear started creeping in. If I'm being totally vulnerable, I have struggled with fear for my life, my whole life, and that is something that the Lord has definitely worked on in me, and I can say I'm less fearful, but most importantly, I have the tools and I've been equipped to handle that fear. But it started creeping in. So for me, something that's always happened is when something scary happens, I then start to imagine all the what-if scenarios, right? What if I hadn't been there? Well, what if our kids are somewhere and they're choking and no one knows how to do the Heimlich? But then what if it doesn't have to do with choking? It's they're driving someday and they get in a car crash and the scenarios go on and on and on. And I can quickly spiral. So I was trying not to spiral. I was praying. I was trying to hold it together in front of my kids. So it was close to bedtime. We go upstairs. I'm getting ready for bed. And one of my kids walks in. And they say, you know what, Mommy? When something scary happens, I start to think about all the bad things that can happen. So here, my child is mirroring the exact thing I'm going through inside. They're mirroring it. And I was faced with this decision of, okay, what am I going to give this child? Am I going to give them an ultra-processed, quick-fix type of answer? An example of that could be, in my life this has happened, can be this frantic problem-solving of, I'm going to think of all the scenarios, and I'm going to come up with a plan for all the scenarios, as if I can even do that. I don't know the future. I don't know what my kids will face. I don't know what I'm going to face, right? So that's impossible. So instead, I knew in that moment I had to give my child the word. And I often quote the scripture to myself, but the scripture I quote most often is, God has not given us a spirit of fear. Instead, he's given us a spirit of love and power and of sound judgment. And that's the scripture I quoted. And I said, instead, we can thank God that we were there and we were able to do something about it. And so I said, when you go to bed tonight, I want you to keep saying that over and over. I want you to say that verse over and over. So I went to bed, and I was challenged to do the same thing. Because as I was laying there, I was struggling. And I asked my husband to pray for me. He did. He fell asleep like 2 seconds later. And I'm still there thinking. And so I started doing what I told my daughter to do. I started saying those verses. And here's the lie that was exposed. I'm in control. I can hold things together. I can do all the things to prevent. That was the lie that was exposed. Second, I was equipped. And here's some of my favorite verses that I have meditated on. And the Spirit started bringing those to remembrance as I was laying there in bed. Isaiah 43, verse 1 through 2 says, I have called you by your name. You are mine. When you pass through waters, I will be with you, and the rivers will not overwhelm you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be scorched, and the fire will not burn you. God was equipping me in that moment, saying, I have a better plan. I have not guaranteed that you will never suffer, but I will be with you. Ultimately, you will not be burned. Ultimately, you will not be overwhelmed because you know how the story ends. God was equipping me with truth in that moment. Isaiah 41, verse 10 says, do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be afraid, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will hold on to you with my righteous right hand. God was equipping me with truth. Here's what you can hold on to is I'm going to be with you. I will guide you. I will ultimately protect your soul. And Satan was disarmed in that moment. So as I continue to repeat 2 Timothy 1, verse 7, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but one of power, love, and sound judgment, that fear was slowly replaced with peace. I imagined in that moment cutting my opponent down. That might seem graphic, but I was cutting that lie down, that fear down. And as I was meditating on in that moment on that scripture, it was helping me in real time. That's what I did until I fell asleep. And the Spirit helped me to understand that God being with me is better than trying to figure out every possible scenario and plan for it. The Spirit reminded me of those scriptures in that moment in real time and helped me to wield the word to disarm Satan. This is what we need. The word provides what we ultimately need. Moms, many of you probably can relate to that scenario. I'm sure I've talked to a lot of moms who struggle with fear. Fear of the unknown, fear of the what-ifs. And that's what you need in those moments is the word. And the Spirit will be faithful to use it in such a way that it disarms Satan and it helps you to have peace instead of fear. So what now? What do we do now? I want to encourage us to never skip a meal. And moms, I'm going to talk to you right now because, but everyone really can learn from this, but the importance is getting the word in any way we can, getting it in. So moms, sometimes it might look like shoving a granola bar in your mouth, which means studying a few verses at a time, right? Sometimes it might be eating a Gatorade gel pack on the run, listening to a Bible app on the go. Sometimes it might look like sharing a long leisurely meal with friends, a group Bible study. Sometimes it might be eating goldfish with your kids, memorizing simple verses with them, or listening to a kid Bible song in the car. And sometimes it looks like a glorious lunch by yourself, 30 minutes of studying time with a journal, a Bible highlighter, maybe a gel pen. Now you might be thinking, this is kind of contradicting. No, it's getting the word in any way we can. It's getting the nutrient-rich food of the word in any way we can because we go through seasons where we're very busy or seasons where we're exhausted, seasons where we're overwhelmed. But the important thing is that we're getting that nutrient-rich food, the word, in because it will do what nothing else can do. It will strengthen us. It will nourish us. It will support us. It will give us the energy and the stamina and the strength to do what we need to. Second, chew every bite. And this is so crucial. So it's not just about getting it in. It's not just about reading it. And it just goes in our head and then out. It's about chewing it. However you get the nutrient-rich word in, it's vital to take time to slowly, thoughtfully, prayerfully meditate on it. And I want to get practical here. Pick a verse. Put it on your fridge. Take a day, a week, or a month to meditate on it. There's no rush. This is a lifetime of reading the word. There's no rush. Put it on your mirror when you're getting ready in the morning. Maybe on your steering wheel. Different verses in different places. If there's something that you do on every day, let's say washing dishes or your drive to work, make that time that you meditate on the word. And as you meditate, ask questions like this. How do I see God or Jesus at work? How do I see his character? What is this passage calling me to believe with my mind, to love with my heart, and to instruct me to do with my hands or my life? Ask those questions. Take time to answer one of those questions in a month. It doesn't matter. Like I said, there's no rush. And then finally, swallow. You know, we eat our food and we swallow it, and we're not telling our organs to do what they need to do. We're not telling our esophagus to move the food down into our stomach. We're not telling our stomach to break down that food and pass it, all those nutrients and vitamins, to all the other organs. We're not doing that. We can trust, as we do our part of reading and meditating on the word, we can trust that the Holy Spirit will be at work transforming us, bringing it to mind when we need it most, empowering us in real time to live and obey that word. So we can trust that God will be faithful to the work that he has started in our lives. He will be faithful to complete it until we go home to be with him. He's giving us that life through his word now, and we have that life eternal ahead of us. So let's pray. Father, thank you so much. Thank you so much for your word. Thank you that you are a God who is faithful to his promises. Thank you that you gave Jesus not only as our payment for our sin. He did what we could not do, but also just his life to look at, to see how he lived. I pray that we would treasure your word, that as we read it, we really think about how it is meeting with you. It is alive and living. It's alive and active, alive and powerful. Help us to practice meditating on it and just savoring it, enjoying it. Help it to be our greatest delight, and trust that it will do what you have said it will do. Pray as moms that we would turn to your word when we are struggling, when we are exhausted, when we are don't know what to do, that we would turn to your word first and foremost and trust that you will reveal in those moments what we need to do. You'll reveal how much you love us, that our identity is rooted in you and not being a perfect mom. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.